I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
He's a very good player, playing with Patrick Mahomes for a while, and their chemistry is undeniable. So just making sure that we can affect that chemistry, you know what I'm saying, with either the rush or how we're playing Kelce, just making sure that we can disrupt that.
That is Bills cornerback Taron Johnson giving his thoughts on the chemistry between Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. And on that point, through nine games this year, Mahomes has targeted Kelce 76 times. He's had 60 catches, 499 yards, and two touchdowns. That has definitely turned up from compared to last year at this point, where we were all kind of wondering, was Kelce inching towards retirement? But for more on this matchup, because we did have our first injury report yesterday, we go to the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good, guys. Good morning to you as well.
So on that injury report, Spencer Brown, I don't want to say he was maybe the biggest surprise for me, but you know, Coleman, we already knew, was not practicing. Kincaid with the knee, kind of assumed he wouldn't. And then with Brown, he had an ankle injury. But you did speak with Spencer Brown after practice, correct?
I did. He said the first 2 days after Sunday, sore, swollen. He said that's going to be expected when you roll your ankle like that. So apparently he rolled it pretty good. He did come out of the game Ryan Vandermark played nine plays, so it probably counts like the very end of the game, and they probably set him. So he missed a little while, but he said it's getting better every week, and he said hopefully he'll roll out of bed and be able to go on Sunday. So like, to me, that's encouraging. He's trying to do what he can to be on the field, and the fact that he was, he didn't practice yesterday, but he was in the field house walking around talking with reporters, doesn't mean that he's going to play necessarily, but I think that's an encouraging sign, at least the way he spoke about it.
Another encouraging sign, just because the video has been going around social media a lot, Amari Cooper catching passes from the jug machine, which seems to be an elevation from last week where it was just assistant coaches kind of lobbing him passes. And also, it seemed like he didn't have like that massive cast that was on his hand, that just, it looked like he was wearing like four gloves. That was concerning. And then him being limited was always kind of jarring.
Yeah, for sure. Again, today will be obviously a day where we'll take a little bit more of a look at it. We'll see him at least at practice. We'll see if he's catching passes from Josh Allen. I think that's the big one for me. He didn't really catch any passes from Josh Allen, but you're right. The video that's been tweeted out, I know John Scott, our buddy from WGRZ TV, has a nice video. He kind of shot close up on the hand, and people can go look at that on John's Twitter, and he has a, he's carrying his helmet. And he's got a glove. He's got the wrap under the glove. But he was catching passes from the jugs machine, which obviously is an encouraging sign. So we'll see. And then obviously there's Dalton Kincaid. And, we don't know what his situation is other than the fact that he didn't practice yesterday. We know he's dealing with a knee injury. He appeared to me, he banged it on the play where Josh missed him down the right sideline, mm-hmm. the far sideline, mm-hmm. During the game. And I guess it'd be the near sideline on television. But he banged it pretty hard. So from that aspect, you hope that it's nothing too serious. But obviously, you get to Wednesday, he didn't finish the game. He doesn't practice. And then, you have a bye week next week. That could play into what the ultimate decision might be as far as he is concerned. But obviously, today will tell us a lot more.
So with Amari Cooper, we've seen him. I mean, granted, it was a different kind of role, but we've seen him in a limited role before this season with the Bills. It was his first week against Tennessee. If he has to play in a game in a limited role again, how do you think that affects the offense this time around with Keon Coleman already being out?
That's a good question. I mean, obviously, you'd rather have Cooper and Coleman together. If you don't have either of them, then the offense is much less threatening, right? They don't have somebody on the outside that really can draw some attention. You know, I don't think that the Chiefs are going to necessarily have to focus a ton of attention on Amari Cooper, but because they're a pretty good defense anyway. You know, they play straight up. They'll play a man-to-man. They'll mix in zone. They'll do both. But obviously having Amari Cooper out there in a key situation, if it's a third down and five, and, you know, you're going to want to be aware of where he is, and that could open up something for, you know, Khalil Shakir underneath, or whether it's Dalton Kincaid or Dawson Knox, depending on, you know, who's playing tight end. So I do think it matters in that regard. No Amari Cooper, what are you looking at on the outside? No, because there's already no Keon Coleman. You know, that's Mac Hollins, and, you know, he had a nice game last week, but that's not a guy that I think defenses are going to be threatened by, you know, on the outside to run past them necessarily. Not that Amari is, but Amari's such a great route runner, and he's a, you know, a guy that can really, he understands, you know, where to be, when to be there. He's done this before. So, for sure. And I wonder, too, guys, like, if it's, okay, he can play, but is it more situationally, or does he get a full complement? You know, that would be determining, too, because how it impacts the offense might be just simply how it impacts on certain plays down in distance.
Yeah, absolutely. Sal, I do have a few questions on the Chiefs specifically. We've been focusing a lot on the Bills this week, and obviously, of course, for the Chiefs, though, they're 9-0. For me, though, maybe the most impressive thing, I hadn't realized it until this week, and I know you tweeted it out earlier this week as well, just how good they are on third down. They lead the way in the NFL in terms of third down efficiency percentage, 52%. The Bills are in 14th at 39.7. For as many issues as their offense have had, they apparently lose all of that on third down.
Yeah, I'm just looking over the last few years. Last year, no team in the NFL finished the year over 50%. The year before that, the Bills were the only team. They were just over 50% in 2022. 2021, Kansas City at 52. It's rare, and it's really good, to be over 50%. So in 2021, the Chiefs were there at 52.20. Here we are in 2024, and I think they're almost at the exact same rate. Let me look, 52 exactly this year. Tampa, actually, this year is at 50% even, so that's pretty remarkable as well. But you're right. And what's interesting to me is, guys, it's really, like, that's... I don't want to frame this the wrong way. Like, I'm not saying that's the only reason, but they're not great on first and second down.
Yeah.
Because they're only averaging, like, they're 19th in the league in yards per play. 19th. And they're putting themselves, though, they're converting third downs at such a high rate that it's allowing them, they actually lead the NFL in plays per drive. Every time the Chiefs have the ball, they average 7 plays in that drive. Now, I think to a lot of people that might not sound like a lot. That's actually the highest in the league, average-wise. Most teams don't go 7 plays every drive. They're averaging 7 plays a drive. They're leading the league, and I think it's about 340 of time possession every single drive. You know why? Because they're converting third downs. When you get them into a third down, you better get them off the field. Like, because if you can, you're going to get them in third down. Like, they're going to have third downs, but you got to get them off the field because that's how they... It's really a death by a thousand cuts, which is wild to say for a Patrick Mahomes team, right? I mean, that's what they're doing. They're beating you like that. They're getting you in 2nd and 6, 3rd and 2, bam, first down. He converts it with his legs. You think if you have him on 3rd and 6, bam, there goes Patrick Mahomes getting out the back gate. So that's kind of that's a big, big reason why they're winning these games. And I just wonder what the Bills' plan is for them on third down. Do they, especially if down a distance, 3rd and 2, it's obviously different than 3rd and 4 or 5, but I wonder if we see more big nickel in this game. Like, do the Bills say, okay, like, on third downs, we're not going to let you, you know, run for a first down, but we're going to make sure we have a DB. I just wonder if the game plan changes. They don't really have a true big nickel on the roster. They do have one on the practice squad, though, and his name is Lewis Seen. I'm not predicting or saying he would play, but I wonder if that's something game plan-wise they would think about doing to change it up if they have somebody in that role that they feel comfortable with.
That could be fun to see if he's active on game day and kind of give you maybe an idea of what they want to do. I think this maybe could be a massive game for Rousseau and Von Miller dealing with a team that doesn't necessarily have great tackles. I mean, Juwan Taylor is kind of like the poster child of how is he not getting a flag every single play. That it might have to be a game where those two take over. And Von Miller, I mean, being that game wrecker that he was sort of paid to be of get them off the field on third down. Because and Sal, you mentioned it too, they're going to get in third down. They're not even running the ball all that particularly well. Kareem Hunt's averaging under 4 yards per carry. It's just they are so good situationally. Of just it's 3rd and 5, they're going to get 6. It's just insanity to watch them.
Yeah, the left tackle is Wanya Morris. By the way, same name as Boys to Men. There's a guy in Boys to Men named Wanya Morris. I don't know if you guys know that. He was actually basically named because of his mom was a Boys to Men fan.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys know that. Interesting story, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. And anyway, he's not related, but that's the story there. And Juwan Taylor, as you said, is their right tackle. So here's two guys who have been kind of under fire in Kansas City a lot for them not being, you know, they're kind of the weakest part of their team and their line. And even last week, apparently, you know, from what I talked to Kansas City people about, like, it got a little hectic with, you know, Patrick Mahomes being under some duress because of Morris at left tackle. Well, that's where Greg Rousseau comes from. That was a home game, too, for them. This is an away game where the crowd is going to matter and getting off the snap count is going to matter. So, yes, these little margins, these little advantages have to be where the Bills take advantage of the Chiefs. And, yes, that is also Von Miller. Someone asked me yesterday, do you think Von Miller could play that side? He normally only rushes now from the Bills' left end spot. But he's done it from both sides. Could you see him on the right end spot? Sure. I think anything's on the table. He's Von Miller, right? If that's what they feel that they could take advantage of. But Greg Rousseau can do both. We've seen that as well. Greg comes off the right side. He comes off the left side. Remember the very first play against the Seahawks, he batted the ball down. That was coming off the left defensive end spot. So they'll move guys around. And I think in this game, you have to pick and choose your matchups. Now, that said, they're very, very good in their interior. They have from center to guard, they can really be physical with you. And they have done that against the Bills. And I expect them to try to have that game plan against the Bills. The Bills have to be stout interior on the defensive interior in this game to not allow the Chiefs to control the run game like that.
Sal, going back to the third down stuff and kind of continuing on with the offensive line here too, it sounds kind of crazy to say, but is it fully sustainable? Because this Chiefs team has been winning games by such close margins, and Mahomes has been getting closer and closer to getting, you know, pressured and sacked and stuff like that. If there is a team to do it, I feel like it's the Bills, right? I mean, there's got to be somebody that breaks through this crazy anomaly that they have been so far this year.
Is it sustainable? I guess numbers-wise, you would think not, but it's been sustainable for 9 weeks now, right? I mean, that's what they're doing. So, I mean, until they lose, that's what they're going to keep doing. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you're covering this team, I mean, you're just looking at it and going, it doesn't matter how you do it, it's what the score is at the end of the day. You know, you could win a game by 2 points and a blocked field goal like they did last week. You could win, let me give it a game. They won 30-24 the week before that, 6 points against the Buccaneers late in the game, Buccaneers overtime, right? You could win like that. They played a lot of games. They went to San Francisco and they won by 10 points, right? I mean, they kind of controlled that game. So they've played some good football. Obviously, they have. They're 9-0. I don't know. It's a good question. Look, and this game's going to come down to little details. That's what this game's going to come down to. It's going to come down to who's going to make a mistake here, who's going to make a critical play there. I love the fact that the Bills lead the NFL in turnover margin this year. I mean, that's a big stat for them. The Bills have gotten a turnover. They've taken the ball away in 12 straight games. You know, I mean, that's a big deal, but they're going to have to do it again. I think you have to take the ball away. You have to not allow the Chiefs to stay on the field. For the Chiefs' part, they're not taking care of the ball as much as they would love to. They actually are -4 in turnover differential this year, partly because Patrick Mahomes has thrown 9 interceptions this year. So, you know, those are things that you have to take advantage of. You have to force them into these little mistakes.
Yeah, and on that interception point too, Sal, Mahomes hasn't thrown one in 2 games, but going into this game, the Bills are 5th in the league in just interceptions at 11 this year. So, I mean, like that you know, for all the stuff we've been talking about, the Bills' offense for this game, the defense, them having Taron Johnson healthy, having Terrell Bernard healthy, that could be huge, and even Von Miller back as well could be huge for him. But, Sal, it is Thursday. What's the schedule looking like for today and then tomorrow as well?
Yeah, so today I'll be down at One Bills Drive here in a little while, and the Bills will have practice at 12:30 p.m. It's our first chance to see Matt Milano on the practice field, guys.
There we go.
He won't play this week. It was made official yesterday in the NFL transaction wire that they opened his 21-day window. So that means they'll have until December 4th to put him on the active roster. So they can carry him on the injured reserve designated to return list through the San Francisco 49ers Sunday night game. There's no rush here to get Matt Milano back. They have this game, a bye week, another game. Then they can put him back after that. And, you know, as long as they do it before the Rams game, and even then they don't have to play him. They could put him on a, you know, game day inactive list, but as long as he's on the 53. But we will see him today. I'm interested to see how that looks out there. We'll find out, obviously, on if Dalton Kincaid, Spencer Brown, Amari Cooper, any of them, all of them practice today. And then we'll hear from players after practice. And then tomorrow, Sean McDermott will be on the Extra Point Show with me at, we're thinking 10:45 a.m. is going to be the time tomorrow. And, you know, we'll get an injury update as far as Sunday is concerned.
Awesome. Sounds good. All right, Sal, enjoy practice today, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. Lucene, welcome to the show. All right.
I remember when they signed him from Minnesota's practice squad, was it? Yeah.
Yep.
Right? Yeah.
Not even their practice squad. He was, I think, cut from Minnesota, and they picked him up.
Well, regardless, I remember when that happened, and I was very excited for that because I have a feeling that he's going to play a factor as the season goes on here.
I'm glad you were excited because I just remember Matt Collar talking, I think, with Mike Schopens to me, and being like, not really a good player. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah. Hey, again, it's you get a guy into a different system, you work him in for a while. He's been here for 10 weeks now.
Yep.
You never know.
First round talent out of Georgia. I mean, could
have had a fluke. Well, not fluke. Pretty bad injury.
Yeah,
early on in his career. So, you know, hopefully he's kind of over that. But man, looking at what they have at safety, I wonder if he could play a factor in this.
Just as that big neck goal kind of caused problems in the middle of the field,
yeah.
And they're going to have to. We talked right at the start of the segment too about Travis Kelce and how many targets he's getting. And there's been a huge uptick in just the last like month or so for them. Just want to get his game logs up here real quick. His targets from October 27th against Vegas to their last game against Denver: 12, 16, and 12. I mean, that is an uptick in terms of his targets. And that's where I think it is important them having Terrell Bernard healthy and being...
Well, again, look at last year.
Yeah.
Like, in the playoff game, you were down to your fifth and sixth string guys.
Calling A.J. Klein off the bench, baby.
Like, we've talked about this so many times, but now you have Terrell Bernard, and you have a seasoned Dorian Williams.
Yep.
So,
plus, Teron's there as well in your nickel corner spot.
And we also saw, if Lewisine does play a role, we've seen him kind of practicing as a linebacker.
Oh, that's right.
Remember
that's
that? Right. That yeah. happened, what, like yeah. a month ago or so?
It was right when he got here, or close to it.
It was when Bernard got hurt.
Oh, yes.
That was when they looked like they were tampering with it. So I wonder if maybe that's something that could be, you know, part of the plan. When do you think we would find out about that?
Like the day of.
You think so?
When I said like it'd be really interesting to see Lewisine active on game day, that would be my indication of like, oh, Sal was right about the big nickel. We're going to find out for sure, but it's like 85% sure now.
It'd be interesting, but I wouldn't be against it. I'd be all for it. You know, why not? Try something new. You have, again, we talked about this yesterday. Both of these teams have completely different identities from the last time they played each other.
Mm-hmm.
Throw them a curveball.
Lewisine, big nickel.
I don't know if it'd be that big of a impact, but at the same time, why not?
Change something up.
Again, we've talked so much about how much does this game matter to you? What does it mean? What is the impact? If it doesn't mean anything, then try something. Do it now rather than do it in the playoffs where if you lose, you go home.
Yeah.
Give them something to think about.
Give them something to think about. That's fair.
It's why not?
Well, I am definitely interested in it. Go back to Twitter, Bills by Billion, speaking about, you know, players playing and whatnot. I won't have a vibe until we know who's playing and who's not. If 86 and 18 aren't playing, the game means very little. If both play and we don't win, then I think we have another conversation. If they both play and we win, then the full schedule watch is on for the one seed. Fair assessment.
Yeah.
It's a very fair assessment.
Yeah. I think it also would be really interesting if neither of them played and they won.
I was saying it on the nightcap too, because like I'm in this feeling that if Cooper plays great, Kincaid I'm not expecting to play, but maybe the only kind of outcome that moves me one way or the other is like a total blowout. If the Bills blow out the Chiefs, it's like you did that with like a limited offense,
with like nothing. Yeah.
And if you get blown out, it's like I know you had a limited offense, but come on, they're not playing that well either. They're hurt. What's going on?
And your defense is healthy.
That might be another one too, where it's like if neither of those two play and they still go out and win,
that's defense.
You can take
But that, I think, is big, because what's the big issue we have with Bills Chiefs? It's not if Josh Allen's going to perform well.
If the defense is going to perform well.
If the defense and coaching is going to perform well.
Right.
And if all of a sudden Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich go out there and Mahomes throws 2-3 picks, because he's thrown a lot of picks this year, and they're fifth in the league with 11 right now, and they're at the highest turnover margin. If they go out there and do that and kind of embarrass him a little bit, and Miller and Rousseau are able to attack the tackles and really get home against Mahomes, that can maybe be indicative of what can happen down the road, potentially in another matchup in January.
Well, and like we were talking about with Sal, with the offensive line of the Chiefs having just kind of being suspect, if you can activate Greg Rousseau and Von Miller and poor use of words. They are active, sorry.
Yes.
If you can have them just get in there and cause problems, not even sack Mahomes, just pressure him. Because there was a highlight I remember watching getting broke down on ESPN, and then I rewatched it a couple times, of the Chiefs game last week against the Broncos. I don't remember if Mahomes threw an interception or if it was just an incompletion or whatever, but there was a snap or a specific play, and it happened numerous times, where Mahomes would get the ball and turn and already be looking at his blind side.
Yeah.
He wouldn't even look downfield. He'd look right to his blind side. And that right there shows you that he, in that moment, did not have trust in that left tackle, whether it be Wanya Morris or the backup. His name escapes me. He was a rookie. Oh, I'm going to butcher the name. Kingsley Suamatia?
That sounds right.
Maybe. I think it looks right. But he just doesn't have trust in those guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, it has been their weak spot, 100%.
And if you can exploit that, which you can with Greg Rousseau and even with Von Miller, and even a guy like A.J. Epinesa, I think, could make an impact. Those three guys are your biggest factors. I know the secondary needs to do its job. I know the linebackers need to do their job. But the defensive line is what is the X factor for you in this game. Get in their head and get to that quarterback, he's thrown picks this year. At one point, he had way more picks than touchdowns.
Yeah, so he's overcome that.
I know that. I know. But hey, there's always a chance for him to go back.
This is terrible, but like, this is what I'm seeing, is tackles collapse. Rousseau, Miller both coming in. Mahomes just takes off up the middle of the field.
Stop.
Converts
Stop.
Third and five with his legs.
That's what Ed Oliver's for.
And he has not had a good season, really. I know. That's more my fears. That Oliver last year, I had more confidence. Oliver this year, I'm seeing that 52% conversion rate on third downs.
Think about it this way, though. If that starts to happen, just bring in a spy. Why not have Terrell Bernard just stay low?
Kelce, though. You got to cover Kelce.
Louisine.
and you're back to Louisine.
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs sort of
I'm not saying Louisine's a great idea.
Bill Belichick.
It is interesting.
Bill Belichick talked about this, talking about the Bills-Chief rivalry.
Right.
And it's
kind of why it popped into my head.
It was the flipped example. It was the Bills and the Chiefs having a spy. And for them, it was initially in the regular season, the spy was engaging with the offensive line. And it was causing problems for the Chiefs where it was, you know, they're calling for flags and holding and stuff like that. But ultimately, Allen was able to escape and make plays. So what did they do in the playoff game? They just dropped him back. They just moved him back. And they were fine. And obviously, as we saw in the playoff game, not so great for them. And maybe that's something with the Bills have to do, but ultimately, Mahomes doesn't run nearly as much as Allen. He's not as dangerous as a runner. You need to worry far more about Kelce than you do Mahomes running. And also, it's the regular season. I don't really imagine Mahomes is going to want to run a lot. The Bills, though, Jeremy's brought this stat up a lot this week of just how much more Allen runs in Chiefs games compared to other games. I don't know the Mahomes numbers, but whenever I think of Mahomes running, it's in the playoffs, not really anything else. So we'll see on that.
How do you feel about if you consider this a tune-up game?
Oh, for like both teams?
No, well, just kind of like a tune-up game, like preparing for the playoffs, the most likely chance that you're going to meet in the playoffs.
It'd be one thing if the Bills were like fully out of the one seed conversation and the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for both of them, because that's still live, the idea of the bye week, both teams have dealt with major injuries. That is a prize for them.
Yeah.
For both teams to be able to just chill out for a week and watch the rest of the NFL kind of brutalize each other. That, I think, is massively important. And the Bills specifically, because of the issues they've had at injuries at linebacker last year and other positions, for them to just not have to play that wild card game to get another week of rest, I think could be massive for a potential deep playoff run.
I just look at this as a game of, you know, you're going there and you're going to learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily going to help you right now, but it's going to help you in January.
Good. 803-0550, the number to call. Vibes check for the Chiefs game this weekend. As Sal said, we'll get more of an idea when the injury report comes out later today. Right now, we just kind of have the walkthrough. But number of players not practicing, Kincaid really among them, the strongest. Spencer Brown, rolled ankle. Has a good chance of playing, or at least they're hopeful he can play. But we hope to get more of a word on the Sabres coming up next. Paul Hamilton, maybe, we're going to see, will join us to get more of a look at the Sabres. Thompson and Lukanen, we know, not playing tonight against St. Louis, which also, I want to remind you, is a radio-only game. You can only hear Dan and Rob right here on WGR. The game will, though, be on television, just an ESPN Plus broadcast. You're listening to Northtown Automotive X-Point Show.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Sabres play tonight, 7:30 puck drop, 6:30. Will be the start of the Steve Foley Law pregame show. It is radio only. Dan and Rob can only be heard right here on WGR, though, for quote-unquote television purposes. It will be on ESPN+. And we do already have news for tonight's game as we bring in our own Paul Hamilton here on the Wester Hotline. Paul, how was practice today? Or the optional morning skate, excuse me.
It was just optional, so yeah, there wasn't much going on. Is that other than the fact that, you know, before it started, which is not uncommon, the goalies come out early, as Lukanen did. And, you know, he took shots for maybe 10 minutes or so and went over to the bench and talked to training staff and stuff for a while. And then as the other two goaltenders came onto the ice, he left. So he's not quite there yet. I think he, you know, Lindy Ruff said they're both doing well. Thompson was not on the ice. He said, so it's not that they've regressed or there's any problem or anything like that, but they're not going to play. He said, as far as Lukanen goes, he said he had a good day today. And he said, if he doesn't play Saturday, he probably will play the next game. So that's what they're looking at for him. Thompson is just, I guess, not ready yet. As I said yesterday, it was just a possibility. I've been around long enough to know that a lot of times when this goes on, they didn't come out for practice and it's the game the next day, very often you won't see them in the game. They certainly are not going to take any chances with him. You know, you'd rather miss one game than try to rush him back and then something happens and you lose him for a month or something. So they're going to go with it that way. Gilbert's going to take Samuelson's spot because this is a heavy team. This is a physical team, the St. Louis Blues. And so he wanted to you know, put the more physical player in. Plus, if you put Joki Haru in, you would have two right-handed shots on your third pair, and that's not ideal either. So that's why Gilbert's going in for Samuelson.
Paul, how are you feeling about Levi? Saw he was in the starter's net, and you know, obviously with everything going on with UPL and Reimer flying here from Anaheim, obviously Levi's the starter here, but what do you feel about that?
Maybe it'll help that he got that third period in. You know, it's kind of like back-to-back games. He didn't play a full game, but he's going to at least be in the net for two straight games, which might help him a little bit. I don't like him sitting around at all. I thought his first two games were good when they were going back and forth, and then he got lost in the shuffle here. And because Lukanen's doing just what he did last year. The back and forth didn't really serve him very well. Didn't serve either one of them. It served Levi better than it served Lukanen. Lukanen showed us last year, down the stretch, he played more than any other goaltender in the NHL and put up some very good numbers. And he started to get going here. Why? Because he was playing a lot. He was playing just like he was last year. But unfortunately, you got your 22-year-old goaltender there sitting there watching. And I don't think that's good for him. Now, if when Lukanen's healthy, if they want to send him down, I don't know how he will react. He reacted well last year. He's the type of guy, Kevin Adams said, you know, before they did it, they sat down. I think Mike Bales was in the meeting too, and probably Don Granato and Adams, and they talked to him, and they went over things. It's a give and take, you know, where they feel he's at, why they feel this is good for him, what to expect when you're down there. And Levi was like, yeah, okay, good, let's do it. And he embraced it and did really well down there. And, you know, at the end of the year, I remember talking to him as right when the season ended. He really enjoyed playing with those guys. He enjoyed being the number one guy. He enjoyed going on a run. When he got in the net, they were almost out of the playoffs. By the time the regular season ended, they were tied for first place. That's how well he did. And it certainly wasn't his fault that they lost in five games in the playoffs. He played very well in the playoffs. So, you know, that was good for him, and he embraced it. You know, I don't know how he would react doing it a second year. You know, he wants to be in the National Hockey League. He wanted to be in the National Hockey League right out of college. No goaltender has ever done that. Jump from college to a regular goaltender in the NHL. The Sabres tried to make that happen for him, and it didn't work. And then he wound up in Rochester, where he did really well. So they can't worry about how he reacts to it. They got to do what they feel is best for him. I don't feel sitting here watching Lukanen play is best for him. Now that they've got Reimer back, just finished talking to him right now, I think, you know, once Lukanen's ready, I think you got to get Levi down in Rochester and you got to get him in the net.
And I think, Paul, it could work out perfectly, too, with the Sabres having a bit of a Western road trip coming up here later on this month. It may not be a bad idea to then just kind of leave, you know, for quote-unquote, leave Levi home while UPL and Reimer go out with the Sabres. It's not too many games. Looking at the Amerk schedule here, they've got a game the 17th, the 20th, and then a back-to-back 22nd and 23rd. I mean, he can get into the net for most of those games. And, Paul, I think you're right, too. And I've been there on this point, too. Levi's not going to get better by just watching. He's not a backup goaltender. He's your potential future goaltender, and he needs game time. He didn't have a ton in college. And, yeah, right now, I mean, UPL's playing great, really, outside of Montreal. He had three straight awesome games. But you got to get him game time.
The only reason they may go keep him, they got the roster spot, because as I look at the West Coast trip, you've got Anaheim and San Jose back-to-back, so he would play there. And then in the next week, you got Vancouver at home and then the Islanders back-to-back. So that would get him in the net in each week. So they might be inclined, and I wouldn't be against this, you know, to let him stick around, play the St. Louis game. We'll see about the Philadelphia game, play either the Anaheim or the San Jose game, and then play either the Vancouver or the Islander game. And then after that, then it's every other day. It's home games every other day. You have a back-to-back later in December, Washington and Toronto. You have a 3-4 there. Reimer can handle that. But at the end of that week, you also have a back-to-back with Toronto and Boston. So maybe you bring him back for that and put him in. Now, that isn't going to make James Reimer very happy because he never gets in the net then. And he never got a preseason game, you know. Yeah, but yeah. You can't worry about who you're making happy. You got to do what's best for the team and best for the goaltenders.
Paul, what do you feel about St. Louis tonight? They're coming in here on a three-game losing streak. And in those three games, they've given up 4 goals, 8 goals, and 3 goals. So, I mean, interesting season so far for St. Louis here, coming in at 7-9.
Yeah, it is an interesting season for them. You're right. It's been a weird year for them. And you know what? The way the Sabres handle it, and I like the way they handle it. You know, as far as Gilbert playing, it's because St. Louis is more physical. So, Lindy Ruff is looking at the opponent there. But for the most part, they go over the opponent, but he is much more concerned about how the Sabres are going to play. He believes, and I don't think he's wrong, that when they play on top of their game the way they're supposed to, they can beat anybody. And I don't think he's wrong about that. When they have played well, they are a good hockey team. They were a good hockey team in Madison Square Garden against the Rangers. They were a good hockey team here against the Dallas Stars and against the Florida Panthers. There have been game. They were a good hockey team against the LA Kings. They just got stoned by a goaltender and couldn't, you know. So when they play the way they're supposed to, they're a good team. So I think that is more of the focus that they look at in each game, especially right now early in the season. It's like, all right, we know what they do. Let's look at their tendencies on the power play or their tendencies on the breakout and that type of thing. But if we mind our manners and we do it the way we're supposed to do it, and you play a physical team like you did against Ottawa and you initiate the play, it was a good physical hockey game and the Sabres were right on top of that, I think they believe, don't worry about the St. Louis Blues. Worry about yourself and we'll be fine.
And Paul, I'm talking with Derek Kramer, host of Sports Talk Saturday. Me and Josh have talked about it as well. We've kind of thrown around the terms of like this is like a litmus test game for the Sabres. I mean, they've gone on win streaks this year, longer than they did for much of last year. But they've also picked up multiple losses in a row. And after a bad game against Montreal, you're not going to have Tage Thompson. You're not going to have UPL tonight. I know it's only against St. Louis, and we're only in the early to mid part of November, but this feels important to see if this is really a changed Sabres team from the years past, that they don't all of a sudden start picking up multiple losses in a row, but that they just get right back on the horse and pick up wins. Especially, you look at the rest of the schedule. We've mentioned the West Conference trip, but you got Philadelphia before that. Anaheim and San Jose aren't very good. You've mentioned L.A. They played them very well here. This feels like a run that they can go on. But tonight feels very important to see if they actually can go on that run, if they have evolved as a team.
Lindy Ruff is frustrated and a little bit angry about this. He said it yesterday, and because I asked him about it. It's they reverted back after three good games or two and a half good games, then Montreal pops up, and that's their MO. We've talked about this. And that's what they do, and that really annoys him. He said, we have to learn to cut it now. He goes, all right, we're not going to play 82 great games. All right, we lost one. It ends there. You win the next game then. He goes, that's when you become a good team. They have not done that this year. They lost two to New Jersey. They lost three in a row on their three-game losing streak. And there was another one where they lost two. They have not cut it. It won. They have not just lost one game and then won. And he goes, until we do that, there's going to be problems. He goes, we have to, that's how we become a more consistent team. When the loss pops in there, it ends there. And we start winning right away again. And that's something he's talked to the team about again yesterday. It annoys him to no end. And that's a real focus for him.
And this is maybe where, you know, having the more seasoned coach in Lindy Ruff compared to Don Granato and those before him, maybe he's going to play the biggest dividends for this team changing, is that he's been there, he's done that, and he's gotten teams to the playoffs everywhere he has gone. I mean, this would be quite stunning if he comes back to Buffalo and can't get this team to the playoffs within 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's looking to do it this year. As he said, and so did Kevin Adams, the time is now. And there's no question they're right about that. The time is now. The time of developing players and all the rest of it is over. The development has happened. Now you've made your commitment financially and in years to the core group. The time is now. And that's why they went out and got some of the players they got in the offseason to become a harder team to play against. And so that's really the way they have to look at it, and that's why Lindy Ruff is the coach.
All right, Paul. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll hear from you on the pregame. Talk to you later.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the West Her Hotline. And I do love hearing that Ruff is just banging the table about that, of just, no, it ends now. You're going to have one losses happen.
Yeah.
But you can't start mounting losses. And Paul's right. I mean, you look at the schedule. They have not just lost a game and won a game. They're not even going back and forth. It's they'll win three, they'll lose three. They'll win two, they'll lose two. That's why they're 500. Close enough.
Looking at the St. Louis team, man.
Jordan Kyrou.
What has happened to them?
And Binnington. That's all I know.
They have Binnington, they have Kyrou. Remember Kasperi Kapanen?
There we go. That's a name
from the Toronto Maple Leafs? Yeah. Brandon Saad is still in the NHL and somehow only 32 years old.
Giddy up.
I thought he was 32 like 5 years ago. Pavel Buchnevich, he's still there.
Jordan Binnington, it is still not good.
No.
He is still not good, averaging 3.2 goals against, a save percentage 887.
He had half of a season.
He had a really good run in the playoffs.
He had a half a season in the playoff run. Yeah, that was it. He gave up 8 goals 2 days ago. Longer ago than that. But they lost 8-1 to Washington last Saturday. 8-1.
One of those goaltenders that if you just get under his skin, he will fight you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the best way to do it, too, because he always gets frazzled then. But you want
to
know
what? Sabres seem to have a kind of player like that.
Peyton Krebs.
No, you can get under their skin.
Rasmus Dahlin.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They also have lost 8-1 twice this season.
Ooh.
They lost 8-1 to the Senators. Ottawa.
Been telling you
the
about
Sabres
Ottawa.
Beat Ottawa 5-1.
Been telling you about Ottawa.
Come on,
Washington,
let's go.
By the way, that's the other team that's beaten them 8-1. They're really good. They're really good.
I don't want them to be, but yes.
They're really
actually
good.
No. I want them to be for Ovechkin. I want Ovechkin to do it, and that's it.
About it.
As long as he's scoring, I don't care if they win or lose. That's all I care about at this point.
10 goals in 15 games this year for Alexander Ovechkin.
He does it this season.
Yeah, he's chasing history. And
he's going to do it.
I think he's going to do it. 803-0550, the number to call. Going to take a quick timeout and come back, wrap up today's show, get you ready for Sabres Live at the top of the hour. This is WGR. Quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. So, Josh, Anthony Richardson back in the starting lineup for the Indianapolis Colts.
Like he never left.
I love when sports franchises waste everyone's time. I love when it happens.
They were doing the right thing. They were protecting him from Sean McDermott and Brian Flores. That's what they were really doing.
It's so, what was the point of this? I think Shane Steichen, Colts head coach, like his whole big reason was like he's loved the preparation that Richardson's put in over the last few weeks, which feels like a lie. It feels like we didn't realize Joe Flacco was going to be this bad, and we're now just going to go back to the young guy. Or, and maybe even more likely, Jim Irsay, the owner, has completely lost it.
Has he ever had it?
No, that's right. And is just making calls. And he's just making calls. And Steichen has to go up there and defend him. Kind of like
poor
how Kevin
Shane
Stefanski. This feels like ownership.
No, for having to deal with this.
Oh, yeah. And but it's a lot like Kevin Stefanski with Deshaun Watson for a number of years. Well. Of like, hey, still our cornerback. So thrilled about it.
Yeah, right. I think it's going to be interesting to see if Richardson comes in here and does the same thing, then what they're going to do.
I want for his career, but completely selfishly for my own entertainment, I want him to take himself out of the game again.
Oh.
I want something similar to that to happen. Not immediately. But
wait,
like,
who are they playing this week?
They are playing the Jets.
Okay. See, this is the perfect time to do this. If he comes in and he flops and loses, then you know what you have to do. But if he comes in and he wins, it's like, hey, you know, you beat the Jets, but hey, maybe you're learning from yourself.
Still weird. I know, I'm telling you.
No, it's never going to not be weird. But for him as a player and for them as a team,
oh yeah.
If he wins, if he wins, is it worse or better? Because if he loses, then it's a clear cut. Like, okay,
they're kind of in a lose-lose spot. It's not like Richardson has been blowing up. Obviously, that's partially why they went to bench him. It's been weird. It's been awkward.
Mm-hmm.
If he wins, though, you can argue the benching worked. But you can also argue this has gone really poorly. And then if they lose, Richardson still looks bad, and you still went back to him because Flacco's even worse. Again, for my own entertainment and sick entertainment at that, I think it'd be really, really funny if, like, at randomly in the third quarter, he's like, I'm tired. I'm going to get taken on again. And we're doing
personally,
this all over again.
Personally, I would have also loved to see, once again, Flacco versus Rodgers for the final time. The last dance.
Oh, there we go. That's going to do it for me and Josh. Reminder, Sabres game later tonight, 7:30 puck drop, 6:30 pregame, radio only, right here on WGR if you want to listen to Dan and Rob. Other than that, it is on ESPN+. But for more on the Sabres, coming up next, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence.
and the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.